What's up? This is Fades. I want to thank all y'all for coming in and listening to me. I know you didn't have to do it, but you did it anyway. And thank you. You can reach me at Fades380, or you can come and join me at anchor.fm/Fades5. That's where you can join my little rendezvous in the thought or process as we ride down the road to the world of destruction. Come in and join me. If you got a comment, you can post it at the bottom. You got a voice that you want to be heard, just send it to my Instagram. Fades380. Everybody do their part, and the world can be a better place. I ain't here for no drama. I ain't here for no problems. I ain't here for no static. I'm here to learn. I'm here to learn. And I'm here to learn.
Tell me why they envy me. Lord, I pray you defend me from my enemy. Defend me from my enemy. Defend me from my enemy, yeah. Defend me from my enemy. Defend me, Till I'm like God said you.
I'm going to read it again. These are the offenses that were used to justify the lynching of black men. So let's go through the list again. The list is the following: robbery, slander, uppityness, wife beating, cutting levies, kidnapping, voodooism, poisoning horses, writing insulting letters, incendiary language, political activism, gambling, quarreling, poisoning wells, swindling, jilting a girlfriend, organizing Negroes, throwing rocks, unpopularity, making threats, circulating scandal, gossiping, being troublesome, having a bad reputation, drunkenness, rioting, fraud, enticing a servant away, writing a letter to a white woman, asking a white woman for her hand in marriage, conspiracy, introducing smallpox, giving information, conjuring, concealing a criminal, slapping a child, touching a white woman, talking back to or sassing a white person, passing counterfeit money, owning a barking dog, failing to get off of the sidewalk so whites could pass by, playing games with a white person, paying attention to a white woman, disobeying ferry regulations, running quarantine, I don't know what that means, being in the wrong place at the wrong time, being unwilling to work, reading a black newspaper and accepting a job, and simply doing as well or better economically than whites. So what I'm seeing here is this. You got to be crazy to have a list like this. Something wrong with you. Something, I'm seriously, You out of your freaking mind. Like, this list really tells you how crazy America is. And just, I mean, it's nuts. We are talking about the lynching part, bringing a child to watch you cut somebody's balls off. I mean, come on, what's wrong with you? But think about how crazy your great-grandparents were to live in a world where any of these offenses might cause them to die. Think about how scared your grandma, great-grandma had to be when her son's going out into the world and she's got to go through a laundry list of all these things that her son can't do or he's going to get killed. That's going to make you crazy too. You know, my wife is a therapist and she talks all the time about how hard it is for kids when they have like crazy parents. Like you have a schizophrenic parent where they're bipolar and or an alcoholic or whatever, how it really messes up the mindset of the kid. Well, in a way, this is similar. You have your oppressor, which has positioned himself almost like your parent. White people, we see them as our parents to some extent. And I don't like it, but that's what we do. And they've got this chaos, this insanity, right? And you don't know. You're like, wait, what did I do? I was gossiping, or I got drunk, so you now you're gonna lynch me, or I slapped a child, but you shouldn't be slapping kids anyway. I was talking back and getting sassy with you. Oh, I didn't step off the sidewalk, so now I'm gonna die. Now I'm going to die. I'm gonna read it again.
So, you heard the offenses that they was pushed on our forefathers, and why their mindset was the way they were. Now, you tell me, see, y'all always want to forget this wickedness, this troublesome, this unnecessary. But it put a wound on us in the minds and the heart. It put a burden on us in the minds and the heart. So the ones that don't really think about it, y'all just like alcoholics. But not an alcoholic. Y'all drink and drink or do whatever y'all do so y'all won't think about it or you feel that you have a responsibility to say something or do something. You can't be on the fence. You can't be talking, oh, because. See, this is what everybody in the world don't understand. The things that these non-pigmentation man and non-pigmentation woman did to our forefathers to make them that. But the main thing of it is, we still came out strong. We still came out better. We still came out doing what we need to be doing. Even though we're going through this hard oppression and hard rules and bondage that the Caucasian man and the Caucasian woman don't want to confess. They don't want to ante up on the truth, on the lies, on the responsibility, and on the accountability. But they ain't got it. Most are coming down here because everybody got to get their judgment, so they ain't got to do it. Because the world's already seeing what type of when they rule the world as a nation, the non-pigmentation man and the non-pigmentation woman, when they rule the world as a nation. You see how the world ends up. So they make it so bad they don't even wanna try to do the right thing, trying to mend up or whatever. You know, they have the mindset that they have the ownership. But the Most High gave them the opportunity to rule the world, and you see what it came off to. You see.
I love when I'm right. I accept when I'm wrong. But I love when I'm right. All of the people who keep doubting my information, you always have something to say under the posts, right? Well, I didn't hear about this and I live here. This can't be right. He doesn't know. You get your information from TikTok. Did TikTok tell you 2 months ago all these businesses was finna close? No. I did. Did TikTok tell you that they was finna hire these migrants and abandon the American people? No. I did. Look at Tyson Food right now in Iowa, closing down their business, but not because they're going out of business. It's because they're finna fire every American citizen and replace them with a migrant. You heard me, go look it up. See, right now, it's a lot of y'all that's thinking it ain't finna happen to you. See, the people that's in Tyson Food right now, they didn't think it was finna happen to them. See, all of y'all that's got these jobs in government and in these certain positions, cops or whatever, ambulance, you're saying it can't happen to me. They've already told the migrants they could be cops. What do you mean it can't happen to you? Are you understanding what I'm... Y'all not seeing the picture? When all of these stores closed, and I told you, see how Family Dollar said they was closing 1,000? And I told, made the video, told you all these businesses, when they reopen, no United States American citizens will be allowed to be employed there. Only migrants. And the sad thing about it is, you American citizens are looking at it. You're looking at it happen to other people, waiting on it to happen to you. Right? Saying it will never happen to me. And yet you're going to get up tomorrow and go to work like a good, dumb, stupid little slave. When it comes time and y'all on here screaming about how you ain't got, boy, I'm waiting to see the failure and fall of the American citizen. I can't wait.
No one has actually sat down and studied the European. No one has gone into looking at the European from an anthropological standard, how they really are, where they really came from. What is the nature of this person? What is the nature of this tribe, this clan, this family? So what I'm going to do is give you a background into nutritional causes of what we call today racism. Now, the Europeans came from somewhere, first of all. They claim they walked from Asia all the way up to Europe, and they established their civilization in Europe. They took a 4,000-mile walk up to, from Asia up to Europe. That is their claim. And they claim their race is from three Sanskrit words. That is their claim. But the only thing we have historically to document them is what the facts are. There are a lot of people who claim that they were made and created in a laboratory, the Europeans. There are a lot of people who claim they are a degenerate black person, someone who suffers from a melanin deficiency. That is true. But the facts are they came from somewhere. So we can look at where they came from and what caused them to behave the way they behave, strictly as a science, like you look at any other animal. They are human beings that behave like animals, and then they are animals that behave like human beings. So we're going to look at some animals that behave like human beings. Now, according to, let me go to the chalkboard for a minute. Now, we're going back to maybe 1.5 million years ago. And during that period of time, they had what they call the Ice Age. And that was about 1.5 million years ago. I'll let him pause there.
Deal with abusive relationships. Rule World 2. The challenges of international interracial relationships is in
Yes, so We know that the Ice Age started, the most recent one started 1.5 million years ago, and it just stopped about 10,000 years ago. That's when it stopped 10,000 years ago. And the ice receded about 5,000 years ago. And the Europeans entered into history 4,000 years ago. This is when they first recorded this race called the Europeans 4,000 years ago. That was called, recorded on a pallet, on a mace head in Africa when they first met the Europeans. That's 4,000 years ago. So this is when they entered history. And of course, they entered history violently. And we say they were violent people. Well, they came from the Ice Age. Now, we're in Europe, we're around France, Germany, Sweden, Slavic countries. Those areas are known as glaciated. Glaciated soil, when the ice melts, the ice floods the area, and when it floods, it washes away all the vital nutrients. This is what happened.
Nobody else is armed except blacks. Blacks are drinking, they're having sex, they're dancing. We have got to stop being comfortable being protected by those who took our land. America is the biggest colonizer on earth. It's not a democracy. It's Indian land that is occupied by Anglo-Saxons who have continued to murder and kill, and they've actually made extinct the people that lived there.
Yeah.
That's not a country. That is a criminal empire. That is the Nazis that are still living in the flesh today. And if you give them the chance, they would want South Africa to be the same. And that's why the issue of Cape independence is a threat. Because once they establish a Cape province, they're going to give it nuclear weapons like they did with Israel.
Yep.
And they're going to make it a little Israel in Africa and use it to terrorize and take the rest of the land from the all of South Africa, slowly but surely, like what they did with Palestine. Our young black South Africans need to start getting military training. Let's stop nonsense of having being surrounded by security companies that are Indian, security companies that are white, but there are no black security companies, and black people are not being militarized. Black people in South Africa have got to become militarized. And this has to be done now, not tomorrow. This nonsense of white security officers acting and policing black people, which is happening more and more. I've even been to police roadblocks where there are private security companies as part of the roadblock. Who are those people policing the South Africans? And when did we get comfortable with white people policing black people once again? Black people have got to get military training. This notion that we're a rainbow nation is a nonsense story, because everybody else is armed except blacks. Blacks are drinking, they're having sex, they're dancing. We have got to stop being comfortable being protected by those who took our land. Got to stop being comfortable with being protected by those who are holding our property. And we've got to become more concerned about ensuring that when we need to take our land, we have the capacity. The SDF is infiltrated. The whites are in there. The Indians are in there. We need black people to have their own military capacity outside. This is the truth. Otherwise, without that, you will never take the land. And they will oppress you, and we saw that in Phoenix. We saw that in white suburbs where black people were being asked about their right to get into white communities, and they were being barred from their own homes because they didn't have firearms. It's time to get firearms and to fire all those white people in police stations who prohibit black people from getting firearms. You need to understand that there's a system. At the police stations, the departments that deal with firearms are manned by white people who are there to make sure that black people do not get firearms. The bureaucracy at Pretoria, when you want your firearm license, is being made sure that there's still a Bruder bond that makes sure that black people are not armed. And if you're armed, you've got an illegal firearm. We've got to wake up. This is again comes back to the lawyers who make rules, the lawyers who make laws, the lawyers who make policies. Black people have to wake up. It's time to get prepared. This issue of Western Cape independence, these guys are armed there. But the question is, if they're armed, what about our people? Are they armed enough to be able to resist them?
Yeah.
This is not supposed to be spoken about, but it has to be. Because the only counter to violence is having an ability to defend yourself from the violence.
Tell me whether the Europeans are not telling us what to do. Tell me whether they do not send their agents across every country. Tell me whether the IMF and the World Bank are not trying to interfere in our affairs. Tell me whether they are not telling us who a man is and who a woman is. Tell me whether they are not telling us what to wear. Tell me, what are they not telling us? Is there not something in our tradition that we could use to change the continent of Africa? And why is that argument legitimate and necessary? It is legitimate and necessary because when Ghana became the first country to regain her independence, the first sub-Saharan country to regain her independence, always be very careful, because the Sudanese will tell you that they regained their independence in 1956 and Ghana in 1957. But I always remind them that the real independence in Africa was with Ghana in 1957. And I can still remember those powerful words of Ghana's Kwame Nkrumah on 6th of March 1957, say that the independence of Ghana meant nothing if the rest of Africa was not free. But even as he spoke those words, Kwame Nkrumah was quite clear. He was clear that flag independence, the mere fact that we have the Ugandan flag, or the Kenyan flag, or the Ugandan national anthem, or the Kenyan national anthem, or the Ghanaian national anthem, or the Nigerian national anthem, was not sufficient. That there was something else. And he reminded us in 1965 that Africa was getting into the most dangerous stage, the stage where the former colonizers would become more deadly through the neo-colonial project. No sooner had he written his book than they overthrew him. No sooner had he written his book than they started destroying what we had inherited from them. So those of you who are students of history will remember the 1960s. You'll remember in 1961, the Congolese thought that they had regained independence under Patrice Emery Lumumba. They killed him after 9 months. The Togolese thought that they had regained independence under Silvanus Olympio. They killed him in 1963. The Ghanaians thought that they had regained independence in 1957. They overthrew Nkrumah in 1966. They thought in Nigeria that they had regained independence with Nnamdi Azikiwe and Abubakar Tafawa Balewa. They overthrew him in 1967. The Malians thought that they had regained independence through Modibo Keita. They overthrew him in 1968. The Algerians thought they did so through Ahmed Belbela. They overthrew him in 1968. Africa, as I speak now, and I want you to cast your eyes across the continent of Africa and see the crisis of governance, and therefore begging the question, is there a place for African culture in governance? Tell me whether there is peace in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Tell me whether there is peace in Sudan. Tell me whether there is peace in northern Mali. Tell me whether there is peace in Somalia. Tell me whether there is peace in Cameroon. Tell me whether the Europeans are not telling us what to do. Tell me whether they do not send their agents across every country. Tell me whether the IMF and the World Bank are not trying to interfere in our affairs. Tell me whether they are not telling us who a man is and who a woman is. Tell me whether they are not telling us what to wear. Tell me, what are they not telling us? They are telling us that if we don't have culture, they'll give us their culture. Tell me, who is this individual that is called Patrick, for whom I am named? Who is he? Why is it that on the day that I was baptized, they could not allow me to use my local name? Why? Why is it that when we are referring to ourselves, we refer to ourselves as Anglophone, as Francophone, as Lusophone? And right now, we are even always in the business of referring to ourselves as otherphone. Soon, we will be Sinophone. This is what they told us, that our God was not God. They came with a God, and today, when you go into many households of those who claim to be Christians or those who are Christians, you find the image of an actor called Geoffrey Hunter being received as the image of Jesus Christ. But history teaches us that they did not. It is Ghana's Kwame Nkrumah who writes, and it is not only the Europeans who started that journey of disruption and exploitation. The Arabs did it, and we don't talk about it as loudly as we should. They came. And they took us into slavery. And they castrated our men. So that when you don't see dark-skinned people in the numbers that we should in the Arab world, it's because they castrated men. And we must never forget that. But what we must never forget is that at all time we resisted. Those who say we never resisted are mistaken. We did. And what is this thing called development? I remember not so long ago, the great Tanzanian founding father, Mwalimu Julius Kambarage Nyerere, being interviewed about development. And he said, from where we sit, development is not confined to the size of what the Europeans call the gross domestic product, GDP. That to us is not development, he said. Development cannot, in our estimation, be per capita income. That is not development. Development must not be restricted to the number of skyscrapers that we have. No, that is not development. Development cannot be understood to mean that we must go to the moon. That is not development. Development from what we see and what we call development is to have an environment where there is a spiritual, social, political, and economic contentment. So let the Americans go to the moon, but we want water in our household. That in order to run a government, in order to run a judiciary, you must run it in the manner that the British taught us to do, complete with the manner in which they dressed. In order to run a parliament, we must run a parliament like they did, and our speaker must still wear some woolen white thing, which people stopped wearing many years ago, but we still wear. And even when we run our affairs, we must do it in the manner that they did. We are mimicking them. And when we think we have developed, indeed we are not. That is what colonization did to us. So today, when we are gathered here to remember Omukama Kabarega, we are asking ourselves, is there not something in our tradition that we could use to change the continent of Africa? And why is that argument legitimate and necessary?
It's time for us to put the imperial hat back on, to say, we're going to govern those countries if you're incapable of governing yourselves, because enough is enough. We're done being invaded.
Because our own national security risk is at stake.
Exactly.
National security interests are at stake.
You can say that about pretty much all of Africa. They're incapable of governing themselves and benefiting their citizens. Because the governments there are all about looting and pillaging and lining their pockets and going shopping in Paris instead of actually
making their country better. All right, hold on a second. People on the left are going to watch this. They're going to say, wait a minute, Eric Prince is talking about being a colonialist again.
Absolutely. Yes.
Breaking news. White men should recolonize Africa, says war criminal Eric Prince. He claims they can't govern themselves. Keep in mind, he is currently being investigated for being a part of several coups that overthrew meaningful governments in Africa.
I was frightened by the sight of a life of pain. Whether easy days or complicated, it was all the same. It was scary. The main emotion I felt was shame. Tied myself to opinions of others while depression had me change. I remain with so many thoughts of how. Having issues with my identity, I lost it in the crowd, but I changed. It was life that taught me how to be the man you see and hear right now.
Situation and our own emotional condition, we are totally nuts about most of it because of our insane jealousy. And until we overcome that and recognize with the shortage of not just available black men, but capable black men.
Yeah.
Right? You have two choices. And I keep telling sisters that. You can be the woman or the other woman. You ain't gonna be both. You're going to pick one and stay in your lane. Live that life and it'll be good. Truth be told, I keep telling y'all, don't no woman want no man on her feet all the time, every day and every night anyway. We could give up a couple of days to somebody else, we wouldn't even miss it. I'm busy. Okay? A lot of us are busy. I don't have time for that. And most women don't want that. We do that. America. We trying to keep up with him. Make sure we know who on his phone, who on his Facebook, who on his Instagram. It's nonsense. And it's costing us our children who want their daddy. And it's costing us to grow up and have daddy hunger. All of us want our daddy.
Yeah.
All of us want our daddy. You know, they put that brother that's on that bachelor program, they put him on there with his father the other night.
Yeah.
And it was very sad because his father had not been with him. And so he was talking to him about he wasn't there and what it did to him and everything. But as I say, we need to have a moratorium on that. So many of our men, LeBron James, Shaq, all of them, they hate their father because they've been taught that, usually by their mothers, because she gave them a perspective. If daddy didn't show up, we might just have the attitude, oh, he didn't make it this time. But we tell the child, yeah, he don't never come over here to see you. Yeah, I knew he was gonna do that. I'm sorry he disappointed you. We give them a perspective on certain things that happen in our life with our men that turns them negative against their fathers. And that's wrong. We should not do that because it harms the child. And most of us, whatever we know about our father was told to us by our mother. And she mad because their relationship didn't work.
Yeah.
So it's a prejudice against him from the beginning. He does more for our children than pay child support. And we do need money to live. But many of us don't have to live as high as we live. You know, we make these demands. We want our children. We don't want to wear just Gucci. We want our children to wear Gucci. We want to dress our children like the people that's rich. We keep trying to live like we're rich and like we have arrived. We not only ain't arrived, we are just standing still. We ain't going nowhere with the ideas we have.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, the things that I teach, you know, I teach reality. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah.
I teach reality because we're living in what is called the imagination of truth. We imagine things a certain way. We imagine that there's some black man somewhere that ain't gonna love nobody but us. Oh, even though y'all study history, there is no history of no black man on the earth in the Bible, in the Torah, in the Quran. There ain't no history of them just loving one woman and being with her their entire history. So if that don't exist, why do we keep wasting time trying to find that mystery God? It's not there. If it was there, I would have it. Y'all tell me. It's not that. Right?
Yeah.
And if he loves somebody else, that don't mean he don't love us. Look at it how we love our children. We love each one of them equally.
Mm-hmm.
There's no best one. He not with us just for sex. That's just usually what we offer him, so that entices him in. But that when that happens, after that, he ready to keep going.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, we don't try to work things out. We want to be demanding. We want an account of every second he's away from us. You know, he's not our slave. He's trying to stop being a slave to the white man. We want him to be a slave to us next. That's not how it's going to work. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
And he has to have self-control. He has to not practice fornication and adultery. But there are many men in America who love more than one woman. And he certainly loves all of his children. He's forced away from them because he can't financially support them. But they need more than financial support.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I need way more than that. And a woman will be criticized if she let her baby's daddy see the children, his child, if he ain't giving her no money. It can't just be based on that. That's what they told us. As I said, they make us demand things from him that they keep him from getting. Do you see how that works? That doesn't work.
Yeah.
How can he not announce it? Because as Planet X comes closer and closer to the Earth, eventually it's going to come very close. It's going to be as large as the full moon, and it's going to grab the Great Atlantic Rift and pull it up. And people don't realize that the continents are granite and they float on the magma core. So they're just floating there. So the Great Atlantic Rift is a line of mountains right down the center of the Atlantic Ocean from Iceland to Antarctic. And there's an upwelling of magma right there. And as the North Pole of Planet X is in line with the Sun, as Planet X is in line with the Sun and the North Pole is pointed at the Earth, it's every day when the Atlantic Ocean faces the Sun, the Atlantic Rift gets pulled down towards Planet X, and then as the Earth continues to turn, it gets released, because when the North Pole of Earth starts going towards the North Pole of Planet X, then it gets pushed back. But so eventually what's going to happen is Planet X is going to grab the crust. It's going to be close enough that the crust will stop turning with the core. So nothing changes the core and nothing changes the north pole of Earth pointing up. But what's going to happen is Planet X is trying to go by, and the day it goes by, it's going to grab the crust and slide it up over the North Pole and then let go of it. And when it lets go of it, the new North Pole is going to be the eastern tip of Brazil, Recife, Brazil. And there's going to be 600-foot tidal waves followed by the tail of Planet X brushing the Earth with all these rocks, which was one of them was meteor over Russia.
So you're talking catastrophe here.
Absolute catastrophe. The roiling of the magma deep in the core of the Earth is causing these quakes and these other shifts. The north end of South America is going to move to the west. The north end of Africa is going to move to the east. The Atlantic is going to get wider. The Pacific is going to get narrower. So there's all these things. And the Zetas had said there was an event calendar, and 7 was preliminary earth changes. 8 was massive social change. And 9 was worldwide volcanoes, earthquakes, and sinkings. So I was out there taking pictures of the full moon. And when I was playing them back on my computer, I realized that in 2 consecutive pictures, I hadn't moved my hands at all. There's a table up on top of the mountain, and there's the full moon. And in the second picture, the moon is moved to the right, not up. Now, if you think about it, everything, the moon, the stars, the sun, all rise in the east, go up to the midheaven, and then set in the west. And here I got 2 pictures of the moon, and between the 2 pictures, the moon moves sideways.
How'd that happen?
That is one of the most remarkable pictures. Now, I've gone out and watched Sirius rising and Orion rising in the east, and then I go back 20 minutes later, and all of a sudden it's like 45 degrees further south, but it isn't any higher in the sky. Now, why would that be? That's because every single day, Planet X pulls the magnetic bar of the Great Atlantic Rift down towards it, and then as the Earth continues to shift and the Atlantic no longer faces the sun, then the North Pole, which doesn't like the North Pole of Planet X, pushes the Earth, the North Pole of the Earth, back. So you get these wobbles, and what you get is this gigantic loops in the jet stream. So normally the jet stream moves from west to east, but now if you notice these weather maps, you know, and why wouldn't you with all these big storms? So everybody's more interested in the weather than ever, because it's really can be life or death. And what you get is these giant arcs of cold air coming down from the Arctic, and 30 miles to the east, you've got this giant arc of tropical air coming up from the Caribbean, and you've got this clash of fronts that makes these gigantic storms. But if anybody thinks I'm making this stuff up, I mean, go do a search in Wyoming. Dick Cheney tried to get the Wyoming legislature, and he only failed by a few votes, to buy a used aircraft carrier. Now, what in the hell would Wyoming use?
There's no water there, is there?
Well, that's the thing is, you know, Edgar Cayce said that Omaha was going to be the greatest seaport in North America after pole shift, and you know, evidently he's planning that the Mississippi will split wide, or salt water will go up to the Great Lakes, and then up the Missouri and the Platte Rivers, and then maybe the Red River. And I guess they were planning to, keep it, in the Great Lakes or in the Gulf, and then float it right up to Wyoming. But you can see why he would want that. It's got nuclear power. It's got a hospital that holds 5,000 people, and he could load it with fighter strike jets, you know, and be king of the world. And you look at the billionaires around the Earth, they're trying to start their own space program. So, you've heard of the idea of these deep underground bunkers everybody was going to head to.
Yeah.
But, how well are they going to survive in 10-plus power earthquakes? So they're not. But then, you know, after pole shift, at the hour of pole shift, when the tidal waves start, then everyone's going to, after that, there won't be any earthquakes, so people are going to want to be underground, because how are you going to survive this fall of rocks?
Will he announce it? To me, it sounds like he's compelled to.
Well, that's my thinking, is because when it finally gets separates from the sun far enough that you can see it with your naked eye. Now, I've said I've gone out, my wife has gone out, I've got hundreds of pictures of 2 suns in the sky that I took myself. Now, if I can do that, then anyone can do that. And, so there it is. There's this bright glowing area. You're not looking at Planet X itself, because it's in between the Earth and the sun. So it's like trying to photograph the new moon. You just can't do it. But it's got a 5 million mile long, or 10 million mile long. It's really, you know, it's a long tail, twin-stranded, stretching towards the Earth because of static electricity. So Planet X is not going anywhere. It's sitting there. And the clump of 4 planets, the dark twin, Venus, the Earth, and Planet X, are still rotating around the sun, but they're not moving in relation to each other. And the tail is stretched towards the Earth. So that rock that came down over Russia and the other ones that were seen over San Francisco and Cuba and Japan are all from the tail of planet rocks. And there's trillions of them. So this is going to be a big disaster. So when the president announces it, I'm not sitting in his office and privy to whatever they're deciding, but I can tell you this. They really don't want people he's not going to use the word Planet X, because that's the term that the Zetas have used, and that is on Zeta Talk, is Planet X.
That's panic time, right?
So they don't want people to run to Google, do a search, and go, oh, look, there's a woman in Wisconsin who's been in telepathic contact with extraterrestrials, because that reveals two things. We're about to have giant disasters, and second of all, there are extraterrestrials who have been telling the truth since 1995. So they don't want to do that. So he's going to say, look, Reagan signed an executive order making it top secret. Every president signed on, but I'm such a humanitarian that I'm telling you that there has been a planet between the Earth and the Sun for 9 years, and why not? I mean, if it separates from the Sun, where every single person on Earth looks up and goes, oh my God, what's that? And the glowing area, the thing that's at the 5 o'clock position, is the tail, which is sort of transparent, translucent, whatever you want to say, because it's a cloud of dust or red iron oxide dust. It's lit by the Sun, and you can see that from Earth. So that's what people are taking pictures of, is the tail of Planet X stretching towards the Earth. And you can't see Planet X itself, but one of these days, when it gets far enough from the Sun, you are going to see it. And then at that day, George, don't you think everyone's going to go, the government couldn't tell us there's a planet?
Sure, absolutely. No.
And they're never going to believe another word the government ever says again for any reason. You think if you're president, you can just announce whatever the hell you want? And no, you can't, because there are people, the elite and the rich and the powerful, don't want you to stop going to your job. I mean, if they announce the whole truth, do you think anyone would show up for their job? Pilots, policemen, firemen, truck
no,
drivers?
No, people would want to be with their friends and families. Gordon, are you saying then in our solar system, we've got a dark twin to Earth, we've got a burned out binary star, and we have Planet X?
No, the binary star is quite a distance away. That's why it takes 3,657 years for Planet X to return. So it's something we've never seen because it's burned out, but it is a huge body, and that's where it started. And evidently, Planet X has been coming here at least 2 billion years. So, it wasn't that the Anunnaki were always there. They reached a point where they decided they wanted to powder the gold and put it in their atmosphere to keep the planet a little bit warmer. It's got giant hot magma in its core, and it's got water, which has the highest specific heat of any substance in the universe, so it holds heat. It takes longer to heat water than anything in the universe, and water holds heat longer than any. So, but they were getting cold, so that's where the whole quest for gold came from.
You to vote on the news, and here's the winner. There's a huge, hidden, heavenly body right here in our solar system. Evidence is mounting that either a brown dwarf star or a gas giant planet is lurking at the outermost reaches of our solar system, far beyond the planet Pluto. According to the British newspaper, The Independent, the object is 4 times the size of Jupiter. Experts say the presence of such a massive object could explain why a barrage of comets has been coming from that direction.
Remember Planet X?
Yes.
The search for Planet X.
Nibiru.
There were several incarnations of Planet X.
Right.
That was among them. Okay.
That was
most
wacky.
I'm talking about 100 years ago, Planet X. Okay.
Yes.
Uranus was moving weirdly. Nobody understood. Maybe there's a planet beyond it whose gravity we have yet to reckon in our equations. Oh, boom. We discover Neptune. Wait a minute. Neptune is moving a little unfamiliarly. And this is odd. Well, we've been down that road before. There must be another planet out there. A Planet X. Let's look for it. Everybody started looking. 1993. A colleague of mine named Miles Standish. He looked at all of the data people were using to say Neptune's orbit was crooked. Then he found out that at one particular observatory, was it the gearbox or the timing mechanism, had just been cleaned or swapped out. He removed those data from his analysis and fitted data to all the other telescopes that he had for the positions of Neptune. When he did that, Planet X evaporated in that instant.
Mm.
Remember Planet X?
Yes.
The search for Planet X.
I just want to leave the Earth because there's a specific geological event that's possibly pending on this planet. There's been a lot of talk about Nibiru and Planet X coming back, but I don't particularly think that it's the actual Planet X that's going to cause the catastrophe. What I believe is that Planet X does exist according to a lot of the ancient texts and tablets that I've read, and that possibly it's a brown dwarf star that's orbiting deep outside of the orbit of Pluto. And I also believe that there's actually a planet orbiting it that may be called Nibiru or may be the planet of the ancients. But what I feel is that this brown dwarf star is actually dislodging comets from the Oort cloud and sending them streaming into the inner planets. And this is something that we can't stop. I mean, if you take somebody who's not an expert at throwing darts, if they throw enough of them, eventually they're going to hit the bullseye.
As far as I've studied and looked into this, is the only place where what the Pioneer 10 probes, 10 and 11, found is ever contained in a diagram. The rest of everything was lost. They called it a dead star, and it was located 50 billion miles from our solar system in 1983. Now, why is it called a dead star? Well, this is going to get into our understanding of the true history of our solar system that we haven't been taught. When we look at data from other solar systems, we find that the common theme is that about 80% of all solar systems are binary, and often trinary, means they have at least two, if not three, stars within them. Now, when we look at ours, we're told that we only have one star, known as our sun. But yet, the Pioneer probes found something else completely different than that. And that, to me, is probably the greatest secret that's been kept from us. Because think about it for a moment. NASA came out with the announcement in the 1990s describing how there was a planet beyond the Kuiper Belt, and they openly announced that, and then everything went dead. That tells us a lot, because it means that they didn't know that that binary companion was out there. And once they discovered it, they realized it was part of this entire cycle. To me, it's the same thing as if they knew that a comet or an asteroid was headed to Earth. All that information would be covered up and hidden because they wouldn't want mass panic. I believe that this is the exact same thing as that, where they figured out that there's this object out there, this dead star that they identified, and the way they were able to identify that is through the signature of the star. And they found that that dead star is part of this entire cycle with our solar system and sun. Now, what kind of cycle are we talking about? What we find when we look at data from this dead star is that it has a complete rotation of about 13,000 years, which would exactly line up to these 13,000 year events. As this dead star approaches our sun, as it gets closest, it's known as perihelion, and as it goes farther away, it's known as aphelion, and that's part of a great cycle and the dance between our two stars. Now, this dead star was identified as a dead star because of the signature that it presented on the Pioneer probes. They were actually engineered to be able to go out and find an object that was extremely dark and hard to see. That's why it was initially equipped with that technology to find planets, because planets are extremely difficult to see because they're not lit up. But instead, they also found an object that was dark as well. Now, this star, called a dead star in the 1987 Science and Invention Encyclopedia, was called a dead star because of the way they identified the signature of it. It means that it once was a star like our sun, and it either had a supernova or somehow exploded in a way where it became a smaller object with extreme high density. Similar to in the way where you'd see a star collapse and turn into a black hole. But in this case, it didn't. It just remained as what is known in some circles in ancient studies as a dead star or a dark star. That's actually been referred in several areas. One of the best places we can find that is the Celtic and Egyptian book known as the Cobran Bible. And in that,
that has some sort of credibility with consistency with these dates, but will put a bit of a foundation for something more that must come forward, because although we have lots of problems in this world, our entire solar system will be under siege soon. And it's not really something anybody should take lightly, but should be highly aware of. Which is why I suggested that webinar with BP and all those individuals who know about Nibiru, some people call it, or binary system is what I know it by, and solar events and the like, because we're going to have to deal with that more and more this year, and it will be devastating at times. So I'm hoping that some sort of credibility can be established in that area, because it's very difficult to believe, Pastor Paul, when you're talking about something the world does not cover.
Right.
Talking about a subject that most people don't understand. For example, you have amateur astronomers and those who work with JPL and all these different guys. Whenever they begin to figure their calculations dealing with celestial mechanics and gravitational pull, this, that, and the other, there is still a lopsided inertial tug on our solar system coming from one side. And the only way to explain that is a large gravitational pull coming from out there in space. The only thing that would ever have that power to sustain it of that long, we're talking about since the time of Voyager. The only wow. thing that would have that type of mass to do that would be a binary twin, but not one, you know, it's not textbook, no, but it would have the mass to offset some of, you know, some of the formulas they have to adjust for. You know, this small flight that went to the moon, that was an autonomous vehicle. And autonomy is very important because it can make adjustments on the fly, which is very important.
So are you saying that this moon landing that just happened this evening is something to do with Nibiru?
No. What I'm saying is that the forces that are acting on our solar system are so strong that they have to make, they have to have craft with autonomy where they can make their own decisions.
I see.
And when they're flying in space, so they can make adjustments, right?
Yep.
Or they wouldn't make it. They just wouldn't make it. So as this force becomes stronger and stronger, it definitely will mess with the heliosphere, is what it's doing right now. And of course, any weak spot in the heliosphere will demand a response from the sun. It's a very intricate system. Think of it as a cell wall. Right. If your cell wall and any of your cells are penetrated, your body is going to react. The sun and the heliosphere are the exact same way. Right. Even as far as ratios, the creator made the ratios of this solar system that we're in, just like the human cell. It's amazing. It's quite amazing. But the sun is becoming active in very predictable ways.
Let's talk about that. So
there's a known perturber out there.
Okay, so let's back up for just a moment for some of the audience who may be the first time they're here or don't know what Mike is saying. Mike has given us dates going back, I believe, in November or certainly in December, January, into February. He's given us several specific dates of events that were going to happen with the sun or affecting the sun. And we've seen those dates come to pass one after another. And now this massive, this insane three solar flares in a 24-hour period, you predicted this again. And you're saying is we have to build some credibility of what you're talking about by setting dates and then showing people when things are happening so that when you explain why it happens, people won't just say, oh no, I don't hear these crazy idiots. Because you're not gonna hear this from the mainstream media. Is that right, Mike?
You're right, they're not gonna cover that. They can't cover that. Because if anybody ever knew that, if it were true in the mind of the populace, nothing, no civility would be maintained to this point. Everybody would take their own future in their own hands. And it would become a virtual, you know, it would be real chaos in the world. So nobody should ever look forward to that. People will have the effects on the tops of their heads before they admit anything. They're wow. just not going to do it. And don't you find it strange that we have those flares, of course, right? Now, the actual cell phone event, the cell phone trouble yeah. with the networks is strange. Let me explain one thing. For example, AT&T starting at 3:30 a.m., which was one of the first network flip bit problems. You had a series of phones go down. Now, here's what that means. You could be in your house, and your phone could go down, Heidi's could stay up, right? Or your son's could go down and somebody else's could stay up. This was happening all over the place, which suggests that it was some sort of batch outage. Now, what I mean by that is when cellular, all cell phones have an ID, right? So they have a unique signature, so to speak. And it was certain batches of phones within those ID lots that were going down. This was with AT&T for the most part. Now they handle government emergency communications also. AT&T does.
Okay.
Which means soldiers out in the field utilize some of that network. And there was a knowing deals from, for example, T-Mobile, Verizon, all these guys, their servers were routing the calls, but nobody could reach any AT&T network. And wow. Some of their calls began to, you know, was jammed up. So I would say that was more, you know, I'm not definitively saying this because I can't, even if I knew what it was, I still can't say it, but I would say this was more of an internal issue they had to handle, which could have come from an external source.
So it could have been a hack by one of the major players, nations here in the world.
Right. Now, and hacking is not like it used to be. You know, it's not always somebody external from the U.S. trying to get to the U.S. We have real problems here in the U.S. now where people right. that are part of corporations and companies hate the USA. In their minds, the USA is gone, and they will take these irrational actions to do certain things. So they quickly had to swap everybody over to a different network so they can work the other system. They will find the absolute cause. They will find the signatures. They've isolated the drives and the equipment that, you know, that was affected by this. But it's odd. It would all happen at the same time, almost like somebody was taking advantage of any type of event to strike.
Yeah, and here's the thing I thought of earlier today.
Get out. Exposing the sample. Call him Kanye West. America gonna be destroyed. No doomsday threats. It's gonna get hit with ballistic missiles from Gog and Magog. You shouldn't have had liposuction. Should have jogged the weight off. We the resistance. Hear the bravery in my voice. You lied to us when you said slavery was a choice. Nigga must have smoked up a whole quarter piece. 1441, we was kidnapped by the Portuguese. When I hear the words, make America great again. All it means is make blacks and Latino slaves again. You said Bush don't care about black people. When it comes to cooning, you're a Barkley and Shaq's equal. You was the realest spitter ripping the beat up. Now you in a sunken place, spoon clicking the teacup. Yeah, learning you're a slave. Mom turning in her grave. Lyrical sermon on the page, just burning off the mage. America was great when they stole the land from the natives. It was great when they brought blacks over on slave ships. It was great when they prospered off free labor. It was great when burning our bodies was sweet savor. It was great when they could rape our women at will. It was great when they did our children like Emmett Till. It was great when firemen sprayed us with hoses. It was great when they killed all our modern day Moses. Could you cherish a place where we perished in hate? Then wear a hat that says you want to make America great. Your character's fake, saying Trump represents freedom. He's eat him. He told cops when you stop blacks, mistreat them. Everything changed when you got with that ratchet thought. Your mom's casket dropped. Evil cerebral and rapid thoughts. The aftershock. You started tweaking off acid drops. High as an astronaut. I bet this shit happened to Travis Scott. Watch the throne. You really sold yourself a dream. It seemed the people high as up got the lowest self-esteem. You made back on the road to hell. You should be wearing that hat that said your soul's for sale. Yeah, look at all this backlash hate. First you backstab Hov, then you backstab Drake. MK Ultra, I stuck in your mouth wide. This ain't the same Kumbaya from the south side. America was great when cotton picking with bloody fingers. It was great when we called Mexicans beaners. It was great when we didn't have a voice to speak. It was great when they fed us scraps, no choice to eat. It was great when they fed our babies to gators. It was great when they beat us before the taser. It was great in the 20s, 30s, and 40s. It was great when the media didn't cover our stories. Yeah, Deacon, a.k.a. Fop Lord, Sakari. All praise you, how about Shimei Oshai? Hey, Kanye, man. Get out. You out of pocket, homie. All the jewels, all the gems, all the jewels and gems you gave us about our history, all the social injustice that you spoke out about. And now this ain't the land of our rest. All right? We under curses, we Israelites. They're not for us, man.